Before last week, if you were a high school senior applying to George Washington University, you would have found a line on the admissions webpage that read, "Requests for financial aid do not affect admissions decisions." Log on today, that line is not there anymore. That's because George Washington University was, in fact, not needs blind. It was and is needs aware. And while it doesn't sound like much, the difference is big. Here to tell us how income influences college admissions is Scott Jasik. He's founder and editor at Inside Higher Ed. Hi, Scott.
Hi, great to be here.
George Washington got busted for portraying itself as needs blind when it was needs aware. What is the difference between those two?
Sure. At a need blind institution, they decide whether to admit you with no knowledge of whether you can afford it. And it's just your academic and other characteristics that are judged. At a need aware institution, they have a set amount of financial aid. After they use that up, they only let in wealthier students who can afford to pay.
Are there a lot of colleges that portray themselves as needs blind when they are needs aware?
I don't think there are a lot of colleges that are being quite as deceptive as what George Washington was doing. I think the norm, though, is to just sort of not talk about it. Most private colleges are need aware. It tends to be the famous elite and wealthier colleges that are need blind. So this is actually quite common, and actually just one way that wealthier students have an advantage at all kinds of places, not just GW.
How are colleges, how do they take income into consideration when they look at applications?
Well, it's not quite as insidious of that of them sitting around and saying, oh, here's a rich kid. What they are more likely to do, though, is to step up recruiting in zip codes or areas that are wealthier. So they get more applicants from wealthy than non-wealthy areas. Or public universities will announce that they're recruiting more students out of state. Generally, when they say that, they're recruiting wealthier students out of state because they can afford to pay the higher out-of-state tuition rates. So it's all kinds of things that make the what is known in admission circles as the, quote, full-pay student more desirable, and that student tends to have more options.
How do they know who they're targeting and how much money those students have?
Well, they can't know specifically, but there's a lot of good demographic information available by zip code or neighborhood or high school. The reality is if you recruit in certain zip codes but not others, you're recruiting wealthier students. And so what they'll do is they will buy from, say, the SAT or the ACT lists of students who scored above certain levels, and they'll buy those for certain zip codes. So if you live in a more wealthy zip code, you are more likely to get more recruiting than if you live in a poor zip code.
I'm talking with Scott Jasik, who's founder and editor of Inside Higher Ed. Scott, when we talk about how income plays into the admission process, this term gapping comes up. What does that mean, gapping?
Sure. Gapping is when a college admits a student but doesn't provide the student with enough aid to actually attend. So they've looked at the student's finances and they've said, hey, we'll give you a certain amount of money, but it's not enough. Now, in theory, gapping works well if somebody has a rich relative to give them some help. What really tends to happen is a lot of students don't understand that they're being gapped. It's not a phrase they'll see on the form. And they may take out what are known as private loans, which are far tougher on the borrower than our loans through the federal program. So when you hear about students saying they were stunned by the interest rates, stunned by how much debt they accumulated, a lot of the time, those are students who have been gapped.
So overall, if I'm a wealthy student, how will my experience applying to college differ from that of a poor student's experience?
In every conceivable way. First of all, you probably go to a good public high school, or maybe you go to private high school. You probably had a lot of enriching experiences that make you a better prepared student. Your parents may have hired for you a test prep person to raise your SAT or ACT scores. Then they may have hired a private counselor to help mold your candidacy to be as good as possible. Then there may be colleges that are looking for students who can afford to pay full freight, and they may favor you. We did a survey of admissions directors. More than 10% of them admit that they will admit full-pay students with lower grades and SAT scores. So I'd say if you're wealthier, you are better off through every process of college admissions.
And finally, briefly, Scott, does it all come down to the fact that colleges don't have enough money?
That's a big part of it. I mean, the reality is states have cut public college support, so they're looking for more money. And most private colleges don't have the kind of endowments and the financial support that the most wealthy institutions mm-hmm. do. They need students to provide tuition revenue. Everyone likes to talk about the fact that colleges are about education, but they are also entities that have bills to pay. And students, while nobody likes to think of it this way, students are the customer and they are paying
right.
revenue in the form of tuition.
And as the mother of a college freshman, I totally relate. Scott Jasek, founder and editor of Inside Higher Education, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.